You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we discuss current events, social issues, religious trends, and noteworthy news from a biblical perspective. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. On this podcast, we discuss current events, social issues, religious trends, and noteworthy news from a biblical perspective. This episode is being released on January 20th, 2022. This week, we're going to be talking about how to be faithful disciples in our digital society. A few days ago, I finished reading the book, Faith for Exiles, 5 Ways for a New Generation to Follow Jesus in Digital Babylon. It's a book written by David Kinnaman and Mark Matlock. And the focus of the book was about raising young people in our current culture to be faithful as they grow up. But the principles that are in it will really apply to all of us. So we're going to talk about some of these lessons that are in the book here in our episode today. For a link to this book, you can find that in the show notes, plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/012022. Now for our discussion this week. Book is titled Faith for Exiles, 5 Ways for a New Generation to Follow Jesus in Digital Babylon. The book description says this: in a world where always connected smart devices and search algorithms educate and entertain, digital Babylon is the new context for discipleship. Faith for Exiles reveals findings from a groundbreaking 3-year research study of young Christians whose faith remains resilient even in exile. Barna President David Kinnaman teams up with former Executive Director of Youth Specialties Mark Matlock to help you, 1, make sense of chaotic cultural changes and respond with compassion to the next generation of believers, 2, recognize the biblical concept of exile as an essential framework for following Christ today, 3, discover 5 research-based practices that cultivate faithfulness in digital Babylon, 4, prepare young Christians to be on mission with Jesus in the world, and 5, empower Jesus followers of all ages to thrive in our current exile. That is part of the description of the book that is given. You can see that online on, if you check this out on Amazon, or if you look at the cover of the book, it's on there. Overall, I thought this was a very helpful book in describing the challenges that exist in our present society that is so heavily influenced by the screens that connect us to all sorts of people and ideas around the world that put a wealth of information, whether it's true or not, at our fingertips. And it allows us to present ourselves as whoever we want ourselves to be. This is a challenge for Christians. It is like, as the author is described in the book, living in exile, somewhere that is completely foreign to what we are used to, because our society has changed dramatically over the last several years. And part of the reason is the fact that we have these devices where we are always connected, and we have all of the, we're being bombarded with all of these ideas and images and all sorts of different things. In analyzing the findings of the research that was conducted into how this environment affects young people growing up in the church, they found that there were some common factors that helped contribute to young people growing up to be what the authors called resilient disciples, which is more than just another group that they labeled as habitual churchgoers. Those are not the same thing. Habitual churchgoers mean they simply attend church services regularly. Resilient disciples means that they are faithfully committed. They will be attending church services regularly, but it's more than just that. The information in this book is helpful for parents and churches who are wanting to help their young people to prepare for faithful service in the future. And it's also helpful for all of us to be the best disciples that we can be in our present context. Now, one thing I want to make sure is clear before we get into this discussion any further. I am sure that I have a different concept of the work of the church and what constitutes a faithful disciples than the authors were using as they wrote this material. However, because this book is thoroughly research-based and incredibly practical, any theological differences that I might have with the authors about those things has very little impact on the usefulness of this book. As with any uninspired book written by men, we need to take what is helpful and disregard what is not. But this book was incredibly helpful, I believe, especially in the principles that were outlined in the book. Based on the research that was conducted, the authors came up with 5 practices that help prepare young people for life in what they have termed digital Babylon. And as I read through the book, it seemed very clear to me that these 5 practices are necessary for all of us living in the world as it is today. So in this episode today, we're going to briefly go over what the authors of Faith for Exiles outlined as the 5 practices that helped develop resilient disciples who found themselves as exiles in digital Babylon. Number 1, to form a resilient identity, experience intimacy with Jesus. In other words, we need to know the Lord and be firmly committed to following Him. Our faith needs to be our own faith, or in the case of our children or other young people in the church, they need to have their own faith. Bringing them to worship services and Bible classes is important, but they have to develop their own faith. One of the points that the authors made in the book is that we need to be pointing young people to Jesus, not what the authors called, quote, brand Jesus, where Jesus is just a brand. Everything is a brand today. Well, a lot of religious people have taken Jesus and made a brand out of Jesus, where we can make him into anything we want him to be, including someone who accepts and celebrates any worldly or godless thing in our culture. But the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We do not want to present him in such a way that reflects the culture around us. Instead, we need to help people come to believe in him through the words of the apostles that are found in the New Testament, which was what Jesus stated in his prayer to the Father in John 17 and verse 20, that we would believe in him through their word. So how can we be resilient disciples today? We need our own faith, and faith in the real Jesus, not some imagined and fabricated Jesus that our society has put together. Number 2, they said, in a complex and anxious age, develop the muscles of cultural discernment. The authors pointed out that the pervasiveness of screens is changing how we experience the world around us. Through our ever-connectedness to the digital world, there is a greater sense of urgency in so much of what we do. Our concept of reality is altered. We are paralyzed by the seemingly infinite number of choices on important and inconsequential matters. And there is even more pressure on presenting the right image of ourselves to others. All of this has led to an increase in anxiety and depression and other mental health issues. It's affecting all users of social media and these types of devices. And it's affecting young people. In this environment, it is all the more important to develop and to exercise wisdom. Not wisdom of the world, but the wisdom that comes from above. Paul said that the world, through its wisdom, did not come to know God in 1 Corinthians 1:21. We need to seek after God's wisdom. Rather than conforming to the world, we are to be transformed, as Romans 12:2 says. We sometimes use the phrase that we are to be in the world, but not of the world, and the authors use that idea as well. So how can we be resilient disciples today? We need to seek after God's wisdom and not the wisdom of the world. Number 3, they said, when isolation and mistrust are the norms, forge meaningful intergenerational relationships. This point more than any of the others, I think, stresses the importance of the local church. With the rise of digital technology and communication, people are more connected to one another in one sense, but they have less connection to others through in-person relationships. And with the pandemic that we've had to go through, many Christians have replaced assembling with the local church with some type of online so-called assembly, though it's not an assembly in any biblical definition. We need in-person relationships with believers. Now, there's nothing wrong with keeping up with people online and even having Bible studies online. There's nothing wrong with that. But we need in-person relationships with other believers, including intergenerational relationships or people who are not the same age as us, not our peers. The Hebrew writer warned us not to forsake our assembling together in Hebrews 10:25. The early disciples regularly enjoyed meals together in one another's homes, as we see in Acts 2 and verse 46. And Paul told Titus of the need for older women to teach the younger women in Titus chapter 2. With so much of our communication and relationships moving online, we need to stress the importance of in-person relationships with other Christians, and not just with those our own age, or in the case of our children, those of their age. They can have relationships with others as well, those who are older than them, just as we need to have relationships with those who are older than us and younger than us. So how can we be resilient disciples today? We need meaningful relationships with other Christians from all age groups. The number four, they said to ground and motivate an ambitious generation, train for vocational discipleship. This point may have been the most interesting one to me as I was reading through the book. Basically, it's about connecting our faith to every area of our lives. Being a disciple is about more than just assembling with other Christians to worship God on Sunday. As we talked about at the beginning of this, they were very careful to point out that there's a difference between resilient disciples and ones who are just habitual churchgoers. Being a disciple, or as they termed it, a resilient disciple, is about more than just assembling with other Christians to worship on Sunday. Being a disciple needs to affect every area of our lives. Even when we are at work or at school, we are to let our light shine so that others can see our good works and glorify the Father, as Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 16. Paul wrote in Colossians 3:23, "Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men." We cannot compartmentalize our lives and say that we're going to be a Christian on Sunday and then conduct ourselves in whatever way we choose throughout the week. We are to live as a Christian at all times, and this should be seen in our work or whatever else that we do. In whatever we choose to do, whatever vocation we pursue, we are to show the example of a disciple to the world around us. So how can we be resilient disciples today? We need to view all of our lives, even our work and the things that we do of that nature, as an opportunity to let our light shine and point people to the Lord. And number five, the last of the principles that they talked about in the book, it said, curb entitlement and self-centered tendencies by engaging in countercultural mission. A common stereotype of the younger generation is that they are self-centered and have a sense of entitlement. To whatever extent that is true, it points back to the way that the younger generation has been raised. To quote from the book, they said, "We grumble about handing out participation trophies, but who bought those trophies and handed them out?" Entitlement and self-centeredness are problems. Faithful disciples cannot have these characteristics. The remedy for this, as stated by the authors, is to engage in what they called countercultural mission. They described this as trusting in God and living differently from cultural norms. Really, this is about recognizing the higher purpose to which we have been called. We are to have the mind of Christ, who is willing to sacrifice his life on the cross for us, as Paul explained in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. It is about being willing to take up our cross daily and follow him, as Luke 9, 23 says. It means that we no longer live for ourselves, but live for him who died and rose again on our behalf, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15. How can we be resilient disciples today? We need to set aside our own will and focus on fulfilling our purpose in Christ. Now, for more on each of these points, and there was an entire section of the book devoted to each one. So for more on each of those, I'd encourage you to pick up a copy of this book and read it. As I said, I'm not going to agree with the authors on everything that they said in the book, but the principles behind it, I think, are very important to consider. It's a very interesting read with all the statistics and everything that they, all the research that they conducted, and it's very helpful. You can find the link to the book in the show notes for this episode. But that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found it to be interesting and informative and helpful. For links to the book that we've been discussing, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/012022. The Plain Bible Teaching Podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. If you use those platforms, please subscribe and rate the podcast there. If you know of others who'd be interested in hearing this episode or the podcast as a whole, please share this with them. And if you know of a news story that you think would make for a good discussion, or some link that you found, or if you would be interested in more episodes like this one, where we kind of look at a book that's been published that kind of goes along with this theme of what we're talking about on the podcast, let me know that, or send me a link to a news story that you think would be good to talk about, and I'd be happy to consider those. But thank you again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.